Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Do it again. Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters, Shabbat Shalom. Welcome to Blueprint for Life here on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by At Last Ministries. I am Elder V, Yasha Allah, also known as V the Preacher. And we are here today to talk about the statutes, laws, and commandments as we do every week, because they were never done away with. These statutes, laws, and commandments, although maybe only some 280 are applicable to our lives, are relevant to our lives this day, seeing that we're not in our land or amongst our temple, they are a blueprint for how we should conduct our lives so that we might be kodesh and be set apart and be able to come out from this world and be separate from the people of this world. For these statutes, laws, and commandments are pleasing to the Most High. The reason we're in the predicament that we're in, under these curses, marching and protesting, being shot down like rabid dogs, it's because our forefathers, and us included, have gotten away from the statutes, laws, commandments, and serving our God, the Most High, Ahayah, Ashar, Ahayah, in the name of Yeshayah, through the leading of the Ruach, Ruach. And we're coming upon the Feast of First Fruits, which is Pentecost, which was the dispensation of the Holy Spirit to the people, where Christ said, I'm going away. I'm no longer going to walk with you, but I'm going away so that I might be in you, which is a powerful a powerful paradigm in itself when you think about the fact that he said, I'm going to send you a comforter, because they were disheartened at the fact that he was leaving them. But he said, trust, 50 days from now on Pentecost, I'm going to send the Spirit that will dwell in you, and it will lead you and guide you into all truth. All praises to the Most High for that. I want to thank you for tuning in. And I'm praying that you're having a blessed Shabbat, a blessed Sabbath. This is a day, let me stress this, made for you to be rested. It's not a day of work. Some of us in this captivity, unfortunately, we have to work to take care of our families and be able to eat. Let me share a quick testimony with you. I had a particular job that I was in. I'm just at a place right now where I don't want to compromise. Even though we're under grace and we're in captivity, I don't want to compromise. I insisted on keeping the Sabbath because this class is important to me. And getting together with the saints, the Most High, is important to me because it's a holy convocation, an assembly. And me being in leadership and teaching and preaching, it was important for me to be able to set that example. And I had a job that kept insisting on me not being able to have this day off. It's a job that's open 7 days a week, and all I asked for was one day. And the powers that be that live an alternative lifestyle were insistent upon not letting me have it because of what I stood for. So I walked away in a certain fashion, but all praises to the Most High. He gave me that I desired, a different job to where I can have this time off. And we have to walk by faith and trust the Most High to make a way for us, because I insisted on having the Sabbath and the Shabbat off so that I can do the work of the Most High. The work of the Most High on the Sabbath is very important because it's a time of refreshing. We need to be taught. We need to be preached to, exhorted, encouraged. We need to be prayed for. The sick need to be set free and healed. The bands of the wicked need to be loosed. And that's my assignment in the earth. And so I'm not going to be boggled down by Satan's assignment in this earth, because I trust that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and that he can make a way and make provision for his people if he knows that your heart is in the right place. And the way for you to have your heart in the right place, brothers and sisters, is by keeping these commandments, starting with putting away them crab, lobster, shrimp, catfish, pork, swine. Changing all of your habits and doing the things that the Most High would find pleasing in his sight. His commandments are not grievous towards us, and we're going to get in that in a minute. But let me finish about this Sabbath and Shabbat. We're not to go to the marketplace and spend our money. As I mentioned a week ago, that is the silent protest. If all of Israel kept the Shabbat and stayed out of the malls when all the best sales are going on, we'd shut this economy down. But we don't understand that. That's a better protest than any march. Eventually, we will get to that where we'll begin to boycott certain products that don't have our community's best interest in mind. We will get to that. This is a day where it's a solemn assembly and a holy convocation. This is a day where we come together and look at one another face to face. He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am in the midst of them." This is a time that we come together and we give him praise, adoration, and worship, because he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. And so that's what he does. It's not you going out to do the work to draw all men. He draws men. Let me make something clear to you. All we do is plant and water. He gives the increase. You're not going to build a church because he builds his church. So it's not about you building your church. Let's keep that clear. All you could ever possibly do is, when you're out there, is plant a seed or water a seed. But it's up to the Most High to draw those whom he's going to draw in his own time. It's imperative that we understand that. What's more important is that on this day, we're able to encourage one another after 6 days of going through hell with these Edomites, Esau in his kingdom, and fighting to survive and live, and walking out into these streets, and the black man hoping he don't get arrested and go to jail, and hoping he don't get fired or demoted, and the black woman hoping she don't get hit on, picked on, talked about, or have to fight her way through. We go through enough hell. This is the day where we pull out of the world and we come and encourage, exhort, teach one another, hear the reading of the laws. So we don't work, we don't cook, we don't kindle a fire. We don't purchase things and go to the malls. And it seems like there's another, which is, but that pretty much covers it all. So, yes, let it be known that what I stand for is that, no, this is not a day. This is not even a day for you to go out. And we don't seek our own pleasure, most importantly. And some of you seek accolades of self-righteousness by going out to saying, I'm going out, you know, try to win the loss at any cost and do it. It's not even a day for that. All 6 days you're supposed to be preaching, teaching, and making disciples and baptizing and changing people and doing what you're supposed to do. So we don't seek our own pleasure. What does that mean? You don't go looking for things that appease you just to satisfy yourself. You need to sit back, reflect, and be still. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report. So there's a time for meditation where you reflect, and this is that time for reflection so that you might be recharged and energized for the week to come. This is the time to just chill. I heard some brothers talking about you go out and got to do all this work, and then when the sun goes down, you can cook and celebrate and eat. So what do you got, a reverse Sabbath? You're going to take the Sabbath on Sunday? Today is the Sabbath. This is the day. You want to go out and work and do all that stuff, you do that on Sunday through Friday. So, yeah, I'm kind of making that clear because we got some people that are getting off on what's supposed to really happen on this day. Holy convocation, solemn assembly. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, when we get together, there's not supposed to be any unbelievers amongst us on the holy days because it's a time for us. It's a holy day. We don't have spectators come and observe us and mock us and look at us and they don't believe. It is not a time for them. This is a holy convocation for just us. Those that come into the fold to observe, that's not what it's about. Now, those that come because they just came into the knowledge, that's understandable. But those that are not in the knowledge, don't want to be in the knowledge, and you inviting them, inviting your family members to the holy convocation like you're taking them to Disneyland so they can observe what we do, foolishness. It's not a time for spectacle and unbelief. It's a holy convocation for the believers of the Most High to come together, and we worship like-minded because he inhabits the praises of his people. So you can't have folks in the midst that's like full of unbelief. So we're going to get into some of that in a moment. So I just wanted to kind of emphasize that. That's kind of heavy on my heart and spirit because there's so many people in error. People are in error because they're pushing the wrong thing. We're losing sight of the big picture, what we belong to, which is the ecclesia, the called out body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ, and we're praying and hoping that we'll be the one-third of Israel that'll make it into the wilderness, into the kingdom, because two-thirds of our people are going to be destroyed and left here. Why? Because they're sold out to this world, to this earth, in their buffoonery, their coonery, their slave mentality. They love this stuff, and they don't want to come up out of this world. Only one-third is going to make it, and he said that this race is not given to the swift nor the strong. I don't care how fast you are, how strong you are, but it's given to the one that's going to endure. Will you keep the faith? Seeing all this disheartening stuff on TV, will you give up? I seen one brother post on Facebook, yeah, I see Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against us will prosper, where it looks like we losing. Don't look like we prospering. And he posts all these people that have been killed. This is a brother who's losing heart, losing faith, not knowing, not understanding. There's a lot of young people that are under the curses. But on top of that, Deuteronomy 28 prophesied that we would be shot down in the streets, that we would be laying in the streets because of these curses that are upon us. And a lot of people have heard this gospel. Grace ran out for them, and they did not want to adhere to this gospel. You have to serve the Most High, a higher, with fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. This is serious. This ain't no joke. Keeping these commandments is your protection. It's your hedge around you. The Ruach speaks to you and tells you when to go and not to go, where to go. We have to trust his timing. So I just wanted to go into that about the Sabbath, the Shabbat, the fourth commandment, which is remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We're going to go into a reading of the laws, but before we go into the reading of the laws, let's go before our Father in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil, for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So be it. Amen. Father, bless your people throughout the four corners of this earth and this scattered diaspora. My brothers and sisters that are coming together on the Sabbath and Shabbat, may they be refreshed and recharged and encouraged so that they can take heart in this ruthless, cold world. And may your people become strengthened and empowered and passionate about you. I rebuke the hand of the enemy for those that are discouraged and despondent and that are giving up. I pray that you will bless them and bless their families. Somebody doesn't have food. I pray that you will send an angel their way and fill their cupboards and fill their refrigerators. Give Israel the ability to overcome and to love your law, your statutes, and your commandments. We can't make it without you. We depend upon you wholly and solely. And we await and we long for your soon return. May we be ready when you come back. I pray for our loved ones and our families that they'll come into the knowledge of the truth. I pray for young people that are straying away, that you will begin to pluck their hearts and draw them towards you. We know we plant, we water. Father, give increase. Give us an increase. Increase our harvest, increase our fields. Give us the places to go, the sanctuary, so that we can come together in this last hour and begin to prepare ourselves with the Acts 2nd chapter paradigm, where we can be a community amongst ourselves and bless one another. Show us who to bless and how to bless. We're to sow your money that you give us. We thank you for the things that we have, and we thank you for the things we don't have, because we know that you give and you take, and you give us what's best for us. But you said you know the plans that you have for us to do us good and to prosper us, and we trust you in that. Stir up the hearts of your people. May your word and your teaching come forth everywhere today that takes us to another level in you. Father, we need power in you. So many of us do not understand what it means to be in demonstration of your power and to have the ability to lay hands on the sick and they recover and to cast out demons. May people draw closer to you. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. So before we get into the lesson, we're going to go into the reading of the laws. And we'll go into the reading of the Ten Commandments. Also here on Atlas Ministries on Blog Talk Radio, we have shows on Tuesday. We have the Heart of a Hebrew Woman. Heart of the Hebrew Women with Sister Tama on Tuesdays. And she's talking to the women about being a virtuous woman and being a Titus. The book of Titus is at 3, third chapter, first chapter. Type of woman and how to take care of your houses and nurture and be in helpmeet and raise your children up in a way that they will not depart from the Most High when they grow older. And then on Thursdays, we like to cover, talk about current events. Pretty soon on Wednesdays, we'll be getting into classes just for our men so we could talk about the issues that we go through and the things that we struggle with. And, of course, on the Shabbat, the Sabbath, is strictly for the law, and we do cover a lesson. That lesson is pretty much to exhort us. I always talk about Acts the 13th chapter, how when they were in the synagogue on the Sabbath, they beckoned unto Paul to come up and exhort the crowd. He began to preach. And it was also during that time that people kept coming back every Saturday saying, I want more of this. I want to hear more of the law, more preaching, more teaching. That's how the church grew. So it's important that we have a convocation. This is not a day to go out in the streets. So let me just say it loud and clear. This is a day for us to come together. Nevertheless, that's what we do. So I got Sister Tamar here. She's going to help me with the reading of the law because ain't no brother stepped up. So she's here. So she's definitely going to help me. So we're going to start with the reading of Deuteronomy 20 chapter. Go ahead.
Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth beneath, for that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold himself guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy maidenservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidenservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's.
Okay, that was the reading of the laws and of the Lord. Add a blessing to the hearing and doing of his word. Bear with us for 1 second. Okay, reading from thank you for the reading of the laws. Basically, that covers the Ten Commandments. We know there's over 600 commandments that the Most High gave us. Only so many are applicable to us today, but it's good for us to read the laws that were given to Moses so we can understand what it was that the Most High gave as order for the children of Israel, which were over 2 million in number. And there was a mixed multitude as well, but they were over 2 million in number. And guess what? Look at the percentages. Out of the 2 million, only 2 made it. Out of the 2 million, only 2 made it. So there's like a, what is the percentages of that?
That's less than half.
That's less than, I tell you what, it's less than 10%.
Less
it's like
10%.
1%. Mm-hmm. 1%. Only 2 made it because he sent them over into the land, and he killed off generations as well. And so we're going to have a lot of technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio. We're going to have to deal with them, trying to keep this word from coming forth, but we're going to have it taken care of. Deuteronomy 30th chapter 11th verse says this: For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven, that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. This is pretty much talking about that a lot of people would find his commandments grievous, not understand that he has not made it afar off, and that you must choose life. When you read the 16th verse, it says, In that I command thee this day to love Ahiah and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and Ahiah shall bless thee in the land wherever you go to possess it. These commandments were the ability to live, to blossom, and to be able to multiply, and to not keep them was death, which is once again why we're in the predicament we're in. Why? because we've chosen to worship other nations, their way of life, and their gods over the one true God. These other nations worship fallen angels, the fallen angels that fell from Mount Hermon and the demonic spirits. These other nations worship fallen entities that, yes, they had power because they were in heaven. They have abilities, but they don't have power that trumps the highest of all, your God, the one true only God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. There is none other. But these other nations worship him in the image of statues and other goddesses and things like that. And the Greek mythology, all these other gods that they would try and worship. These gods have no ability, no power over the Most High. And we lusted after these gods. Even when Moses was receiving the law at the top of the mountain, Mount Sinai, we were at the bottom of the mountain, taking off our jewelry, melting it down, and telling Aaron, make us a golden calf. So we can worship that. We want to worship something we can see that we made with our hands. And as soon as they made it, what did they do? Party time. Let's turn it up. Moses getting the law, top of the mountain, something for them to live by. They down at the bottom of the hill turning it up, partying. And then the next thing you know, the party turned into an orgy. Drunkenness, revelry. Man, yo people, yo cousins, they know how to party. But it'll take them straight to hell. And that's exactly what it did. And Moses came down, destroyed those first tablets. Most High regretted that he had ever even made man with some of the things that the children of Israel did. This is why he tells us when we deal with Israel to set our face like a flint, make your forehead hard. He said, I've made your forehead hard against them. What makes you think they're going to listen to you when they wouldn't even listen to me? And I fed them and led them and brought food from out the air and the sky. This is why sometimes you hear us so loud, staunch, because you have to be that way when you're dealing with Israel, because our people seek a sign. We don't want information and knowledge. We want a sign, something we can see. His commandments are not grievous towards us. In his commandments, there is life. And that's why on the Shabbat, it's so important for us to go over the law. They would sit in the synagogue for hours and listen to the reading of the laws. They didn't have no Bibles in the New Testament. Everything was on scrolls. They didn't walk around with no Bible. They didn't have them. They had scrolls. So they had to go to the synagogue and they would open up the scrolls and do the reading. And then from there, they had to take the word with them and trust the Ruach to give them what to say as they tried to remember the words. Some people had phylacteries that they would wear on their wrists and on their heads to show people that I know the law, I got the law with me, I'm keeping the law, because the law was the word, it was the gospel. It was the gospel. Understand that. So we're going to get into this brief lesson for today. All praises to the Most High for the reading of the law. And today we want to talk about wicked and perverse generation. What I want to do is go to Acts, the 19th chapter. As we begin to take a look at this particular generation, what concerns me? I don't know if you have the same concern. Is the fact that he said greater things we were going to do. You know, we were going to lay hands on the sick and they were going to recover. We would cast out demons in his name. And if you've been listening to, I did a show 2 weeks ago, or a lot of conversation in general from people about CERN, a device that's in Switzerland and a few other places, other countries, which is a proton accelerator designed to cause the, our bodies are comprised of cells. So different protons and cells, it's a collider. It causes these cells to collide and open up a realm that has not been tapped into. And it's a weapon that consists of dark matter and antimatter, because they're trying to understand what holds all the The nucleuses of protons and cells together, they figure there's something that you cannot see. Let me just make this short and sweet. They're trying to tap into the next dimension. So you're going to see a releasing of more demonic spirits in the earth, more than that already exists, which is why more people will be agitated, going off, uncontrollable, because these proton accelerators are like atom bombs. When atom bombs go off, what they do is they cause chaos amongst the world of atoms, and everything just kind of comes apart. It becomes chaotic, and there's a release of demons. Demons are held back by an invisible veil, and they know this, and they're working hard to try to figure out how to go beyond that veil. With this CERN machine that they're trying to ramp up and activate, they're trying to open up a door to something that they have no business opening up. But the book of Revelation tells us that the abyss, that there's a key that's going to be released that will open up the abyss and release demonic spirits. So this is actually prophecy. So we're getting ready to see a releasing of more demonic spirits in the world. What does that mean for you and I? Like I was just saying, more agitated people, more suicides, more people blowing up schools, jobs, and going crazy, more people saying, I don't know what made me do it, I don't know what came over me, more people trying to blow, an increase of demonic activity in the earth. To me, that is a call for you believers to take your game up another notch, which means you no longer have the luxury or time to be able to play with the world, be in and out of the world, play Sabbath, then play the world, go to the club, and then play Sabbath. You no longer have that luxury of abusing grace and trying to fit in all worlds and be all things. One day you want to be like the world and all your partners and get high and blend in and compromise and do everything that the world is doing. And then the next day you want to be teaching and preaching these precepts and posting them on Facebook and on YouTube, acting like you got the Most High, but you don't have no power with him. You don't have the anointing, and you have not been filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul would come upon people and ask them, and we're going to read it, since you believed, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? A lot of y'all think that's a Christian principle, you so-called Hebrews, so you want nothing to do with it, but you need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost so that you have power. The type of power that when Christ got off the ship, demons begin to cry out, have you come to torment us before our time? We're not ready to come out of this man. Will you please cast us into the swine? Because we need to have some type of body to exist in. Demonic spirits want to live in a physical realm, a body. So with that being said, you have no longer the luxury to be playing Hebrew. I'm down with this camp. I'm down with this church. Oh, we with this. Oh, I'm going to be the leader. I'm a deacon. I'm an elder. I know this precept because you like to hear yourself talk. That's over with. When you go out and you start teaching and preaching in these streets, you're going to have demon spirits walking straight up to you and challenging you physically, if not spitting in your face. Are you ready for that, or are you going to be ready to fight? Is that demon going to be able to jump right off that person and jump on you, and you ready to fight? Like, nigga, I know you didn't just spit on me. No, I thought you was holy. Right. This is what I'm saying. A release of more demonic activity in the streets. And this is why you can't play with it. Your worship, your praise, and your time spent with the Most High is going to become imperative. 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 If this sounds like this is work or too hard for you, maybe you better check yourself and see if you cut out for this, or see if you really are in love with a higher and how far you want to go with him. See if you really got the love of a higher, because let me explain something to you. I'm not impressed with you if you call yourself a leader, because I talked about this. King Saul ruled for 40 years, but guess what? The Spirit was only with him for 2 years. For 38 years, he ruled and did not have the Spirit with him. And that was the time that he would call David to come play his harp and play them demon spirits off of him and calm him down, because David had an anointing where he could play an instrument until the Holy Spirit would fall down and cause that demonic activity to dissipate off of him. Which is why you shouldn't be like keeping music away from your gatherings and stuff, because most of this music is anointed, more anointed than the vibration of hip-hop and rap, even if you call it gospel hip-hop and rap, because a lot of them are copying the world and bringing what the world is doing into the so-called body of Christ, and it has no anointing on it. But nevertheless, you think about that. Saul was a leader and only had the Holy Spirit with him for 2 years and reigned for 40 years, so 38 years, there was no spirit with him. The spirit was already on David. Which is why the women would sing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. The women would run around and sing that. Saul was getting more and more pissed off daily, because everybody knew that the spirit had already rested on the next king, who did not get a chance to become king for 38 years, while this man reigned for 40 years, 2 years, only had the spirit for the first 2 years, next 38 years, no spirit on him. Check yourself, so-called leader. Is a spirit on you? Everybody has to understand that. So this is part two of walking in the spirit, because you can't just walk in the spirit. You've got to be filled with the spirit, or else you will not have the ability to walk in the spirit. Let me read this before I get into, let me read Psalms 111 and 10, and then we're going into Acts 19. Well, you know what? Skip Psalms 111 and 10. Let's go straight to Acts 19 chapter. Before I read Acts 19 chapter, what I want to read is John 14 and 12 so that you understand this, why Acts the 19th chapter is so important. Okay, John 14 and 12 reads, and it says that, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Yeshua said here, that we were going to do the works he did and do even greater than he did. And why? He said, because I go unto my Father. What did he mean by that? I'm glad you asked, because it ties into what's coming. The Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of First Fruits. He said that we were going to do greater because he was going to leave. Because he said, when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and it's going to dwell in you. So that's why he said we would do greater, because he would no longer walk amongst us, but he would dwell inside of us. The question is he reigning inside of you? The reason why he doesn't reign inside of a lot of us, because too many of us are in the flesh. I want you to take a look at something. Go to Matthew's, the 17th chapter. Is it 17? Matthew 17 and 21. Now, if you look at the 17th chapter, starting at the 14th verse, this particular chapter is talking about how Yeshua healed a boy that was possessed by a demon. And that's why we're getting into this, because we're dealing with a lot of demonically possessed people, people that have rage, people that have lust, people that have insatiable desires, people that go off at the drop of a dime, people that are irrational, people that you can't talk to. People that come up missing, people that can't stop addiction to prescription medication and drugs and weed, and there's demonic possession going on. And we're moving into a time where they will not be able to be contained. One of the jobs of pharmaceutical medicine is to try to suppress the demonic activity and contain the people. You take away 2.6 billion prescriptions from half these people, and they're not able to get their medicine anymore, it's going to be hell on the streets. Not only will people be dropping dead, but you will not, like with your Xanax and your Percocet and your other drugs for anxiety and for people with duplicitous personalities and schizophrenia and hear 3 and 4 and 5 different voices, but they're taking these drugs to keep them, like, medicated. You take that away and they start hearing these voices, there's going to be hell in the streets. There are people that are already possessed, but they're contained through sorcery and witchcraft. But if you look at this chapter, Christ talked about how he cast out a boy that was possessed with a demon. And it says in 17 and 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Most High, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. This is the way the boy came across as he was possessed. He looked like he was a fool. They called him a lunatic. Like, this be crazy. They probably were saying he's crazy as hell and sore vexed. He was just pissed all the time. And then he was doing stupid stuff, like falling into the fire and falling into the water, just doing ridiculous stuff that we see people do on TV and we think is funny because they put it on TV now and we laugh at it. And so this is what the boy was doing. The lady said, have mercy on him, because they knew he was possessed. They had never seen the likes of it during those biblical times. And so she went on to say, I brought him to the disciples. Check this out, because this is what we're going to get into in Acts 19. She said, I brought this crazy boy to the disciples. I'm paraphrasing. And they couldn't even cast it out. The disciples had no power or the ability to cast it out. They couldn't cure him. And this is what we're talking about today. Christ said in the 17th verse, he said, you, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him here. Can I paraphrase? He said, he was talking about the disciples and the people that were around that couldn't even deal with this demon spirit, because he was like, what? Like, bring him here. Let me handle this. I'm going to take care of this. Like, I can't believe y'all can't even cast out this demon. Y'all perverse. You don't have no faith. You're perverted. How long do I have to put up with y'all? Y'all getting on my nerves. Just go get the boy and bring him here. This is pretty much what he was saying in 17. So this, what I want you to see is when he says faithless, you already know what that means. There's a lot of people that claim they have faith and have no faith. There's doubt that's in the back of their minds when they pray for people. They're like, they're already thinking like, okay, if they don't get healed, what am I going to do? If that demon don't come out, what am I going to do? They don't have the boldness that comes with faith. That's reckless abandonment. But when you talk about perverse, listen to the description of perverse. It's an adjective showing a deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable or unacceptable, often in spite of the consequences. Now, is that not the generation we live in right now? Let me read this again. The definition of perverse. This is key, because this is a lot of people that are so adamant about pushing their lifestyle in your face and saying, I don't give a damn, I don't care, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and I don't care, I don't care. This is all you hear. I don't care. That's the word of the day for this generation. I don't care. So what? Whatever. That's the other one. Whatever. Listen to the definition of perverse. A deliberate and obstinate desire to behave in a way that is unreasonable. You know it's unreasonable. And you're like, I don't care. Or unacceptable. I don't care. Often in spite of the consequences. I don't give a... Yeah. That's today. That's today amongst your so-called leaders in Hebrew Christianity, whatever you want to call yourself. Unreasonable, unacceptable. You don't have faith. Living in a perverse generation because you do what you want to do. And you do, most of y'all do it behind closed doors, think don't nobody see you. That's why you can't cast a flea off of a dog's back, let alone a demon out of a person's body. No power. At least with a flea, you can go buy some flea powder. It's that simple. But you can't even do that, because you won't have no faith. None whatsoever. Now I'm going to skip down from 17. We already know that he rebuked the devil and it departed immediately. The child was cured that same very hour. He just rebuked him and he came out. And then the disciples asked Christ, how come we couldn't do that? So, but if you look at verse 21, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Not too many of you willing to put your plate to the side and not eat, and discipline your body and fast to draw closer to the Most High. We read John 14 and 12, and he said that I'm going to fill you with the Spirit. He said, I'm going away so that I could be in you and you could do greater things, but it's going to take fasting and prayer. I got newsflash for you. The NIV actually took this verse out of their Bible. The NIV Bible, some of y'all reading, you think it's okay, which was written by HarperCollins Publishing, Rupert Murdoch, and Zondervan, the same people that published the Satanic Bible. They took 100,000 verses out of the King James Bible in the name of revising it and making it easier to understand. They took 100,000 words out of the Bible and complete verses, and this is one of them. Guess why? Because this verse is key in showing you how to cast out demons. And the people that edited the NIV Bible are Satanists, homosexuals, lesbians, and atheists that edited the NIV Bible. They took out the fact that there were people of color in the Bible, and they took out the things about salvation, and they took out things that would show you how to cast out demons. They don't want you to know about Matthew 17 and 21, so they took that out of the Bible. This is key right here in showing you what you're going to have in this last hour. You need to say, I'm not eating today. I'm putting my flesh in check. I'm increasing my spirit so that the Holy Spirit that's in me can be stronger and greater than my pig belly. No cheeseburgers today. No food today. I'm putting it to the side. I'm seeking the Most High. I need power. It's called being disciplined and strengthening your spirit. And this is why they took it out of the NIV Bible. This kind of spirit, this is why they couldn't cast it out, because there must be much fasting and much praying. This is almost more important than you just, well, I'm not going to even say it. I won't even say it, but this is much more important, and it's going to be much more important in this hour with this increase of demonic activity through technology and industry, so-called CERN, that you start fasting at least once a week. And then if you can't fast every day, maybe a week where you don't eat any meat, maybe a time where you put down your sweets, maybe a time where you don't have communion every day. Some of you niggas is having communion every day. More wine. We got to get more serious about it. Now we got to put everything to the side. This is how serious it's becoming. And you talking about you want to make it? Let's look at Acts the 19th chapter. I'm going to let these precepts talk to you. I'm going to let them talk to you because you're going to see that this is about to be no joke. There's only going to be a few people that make it. And Revelations tells us that those that keep the commandments will be stamped in their foreheads and the judgment will pass them by. It'll be just like the Passover when he said, put the blood over the doorpost and the death angel will pass. And your firstborn will not be destroyed or killed or murdered. You got to keep these commandments to be Kodesh, to be different. Don't let nobody, especially those that are trapped and deceived in the Christian church, tell you the commandments are done away with. Somebody tells you that, you ask them, say, well, what is sin? And they'll tell you smoking and drinking. And you tell them use a lie. 1 John 3 and 4 says that sin is transgression of the law. 1 John 2 and 3 says, we hereby do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. For if we say we love him and we keep not his commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. Do you know what that means? Everybody who's teaching you the commandments are done away with. Like Creflo gets some more dollars. I heard him openly teach on TV that you don't have to keep these commandments. His church is filled with 20,000 people, and he's on TV to millions and trying to get a $65 million jet, and he's preaching don't keep the commandments. He's sending people straight to hell. All in the name of you got grace. Just keep Christ in your life. What scripture is that? You got grace to keep the commandments. You got grace in case you fall to come back to the commandments. Not grace to say, forget the commandments. Christ said, I came to redeem you from the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? Death. When you broke the commandments, you were stoned to death. If they caught you in adultery, you were stoned to death. They caught you in homosexuality, you were stoned to death. You know why they don't want you to know about the reality and truth historically and geographically of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because they don't want you to know that the Most High destroyed an entire two cities because of homosexuality. But it's already been discovered. There are fragments of sulfur in that region. There is a pillar of salt, which is Lot's wife, that turned back, that still exists. And you can take fragments of the rocks and the ground in that entire region and find out that it was burnt, incinerated, and find traces of sulfur. There is geographical, scientific evidence of the fact that there were two towns that were destroyed by fire. He brought down hailstones and destroyed two homosexual cities by fire. And the homosexuals are so pissed off at the flood and everything that destroyed and killed them constantly for their sins that they want to blatantly put back in God's face the rainbow by having a rainbow flag. Because he sent the rainbow after he destroyed them and said, I'm not going to destroy the earth by flood anymore. Because the same thing happened in Noah's time. So now they want to take the rainbow and say that that's our moniker. But they're going to pay for that. They're going to pay for that because that rainbow was a promise, a sign of a promise that he made to his people, not for them to flaunt their homosexuality and their lesbianism. This world's going to hell in a handbasket. So, let's go to Acts the 19th chapter. I've been trying to get there. Shoot, I'm mad at the devil this morning. All right, there's a lot here. You want to read it? Start from the first verse.
Acts 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to
Ephesus,
and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard.
What? Haven't even heard about the Holy Ghost. This is why I'm talking to some of y'all today, because some of y'all ain't even heard of the fact that you can be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you come into the knowledge of salvation, you have a portion of a higher spirit inside of you. But there's a baptism and a filling that comes upon you. And you got people here, and this is what I'm in reference to. You got people that's trying to teach. Because they like to hear themselves talk. You know, some of you folks love to hear yourselves talk. Just love to be just talking. And then you find somebody talk about a few precepts, and then you jump up and get a YouTube show because you want to teach and preach because you admire somebody and you idolize them. But you probably walk around like these disciples talking about, I have not even ever heard of being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because some of y'all fight against the filling of the Holy Ghost because you see a vision of it. And you think you'd be like them folks on Christian Church with them old fake tie my yellow bow tie tongues and all that stuff. And it's not like that. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is having power in your life. Even Paul asked these disciples, Have you heard? Do you have it? And they were believers. Go ahead and read the rest.
And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went unto the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading.
Okay, that's good. Hold on. Many have pointed out that Paul asked these people if they had received the Holy Ghost since they believed. Their purpose is to show that Shaul accepted the idea that some do not receive the Spirit until after salvation. And it should be understood, however, that the Greek text does not support this this particular translation. A literal rendering of the Greek would be, did you receive the Holy Spirit having believed? And it's plain in verses 4 and 5 that these people had not believed in Yeshua, but in repentance that John the Baptist preached. And there is no conflict here with the belief that all believers receive Holy Spirit at salvation. But the fact of the matter is that there's a filling. Like I said, we're coming upon the Feast of First Fruits of Pentecost. And Pentecost is where he told the believers, go in the upper room and wait until it comes. And it sat on them like cloven tongues of fire. And when it sat on them, they began to speak with unknown tongues and speak in other languages of all the different languages that were there. So let me point out something else before we get more into Acts 19. When they were filled with those tongues, the Most High spoke to everybody in their language. So don't get too emphatic about everybody speaking Hebrew, because some came out speaking Greek, speaking Asian, speaking Persian, everything. The Holy Spirit came on them and they were able to speak. And Paul spoke in Hebrew, but in the Hebrew, in the English, in the Greek, what he said is, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel, that in the last days my spirit shall fall upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, et cetera, et cetera. So understand that when the outpouring came, that they spoke in every nationality, and that was the unknown tongue. But these people said, these people must be drunk, but we can understand them when they're speaking in our language, and only the Holy Spirit was able to do that. That was power, that was knowledge, that was increase. And so it is emphatic, important, I am emphasizing, that you must be filled with the power. And this comes through the laying on of hands. You need an elder or a leader that is close to you, that can lay hands on you, that has power with the Most High. If you don't have it, you better find it. You don't need the blind leading the blind and everybody fighting for prestige. You need a leader that can lay hands on you. If you don't have that, you need to learn how to pray and fast until you be endued with power from on high. Don't you even get up, turn on the TV, or do anything that pleases yourself until you know you've been filled with power from the Most High, so that you're like this. And this is the problem with most of my brothers and sisters that say, I'm into the truth, and I've been into the knowledge of truth for 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Let me tell you something with your ignorant self. You have no ability to say when you came into the truth. The Most High said in Jeremiah, the first chapter, before you were formed in the belly, I knew you, and I called you and sanctified you to be a prophet unto the nations. You had nothing to do with the fact of when you came into the knowledge of the truth. So stop saying, I've been into the knowledge of the truth for 5, 10, 2, 3 years. You know what? The process started when you were born, and every event in your life shaped who you are today. So come up out of that also. Come up out of that. I know that I grew up in the Christian church, but everything I learned when he turned on the light and I woke up to who we really were, everything I had already learned became illuminated, and all the I's were dotted and all my T's were crossed, and I didn't have to jump back and start over. I was able to continue to where I was able to continue from where I was at that point, because I had already had a knowledge, a working knowledge of the scriptures. But then it no longer became scriptures. I understood that this was our Hebrew history book, and that transformed everything for me. Let's continue Acts 19 chapter. I got quite a few things I want to point out. Where'd you leave off?
Verse 9.
Go ahead.
But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years.
He was in the synagogue for 2 years, disputing the word and teaching, Shaul, by himself, dealing with folks about doctrine. That's just how we can get caught up with these debates, doctrinal disputes, in the synagogue, when we should be out doing the work as well. Go ahead. And notice that there were Jews and Greeks that were there. Now, you'll have some camps that tell you, but these Greeks were black Greeks. Man, shut up. These were Jews and just Greeks. We'd go and preach and teach to every nation. Know that we had a mixed multitude that came out of Egypt that were with us. Now, what I will say, that he that has led into captivity shall go into captivity, and these other nations will serve the people that were in captivity when we go into the kingdom. Because the scripture also tells us that many will say, we want to go with you to worship Ahiah, for truly you are the people of the Most High. There will be other nations that will be here that will be able to attest to the fact that we are the chosen people of the Most High. What good would it be if they were all destroyed and not here to see it? Bow down and repent for the wrongs that their forefathers have done to us, not recognizing who we were. They will be there in the kingdom, but they will no longer lead. They will serve. Let's get into the seven sons of Sceva in this chapter, which is verse 11. Go ahead and read that.
God wrath, special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the stiff handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. And the evil spirits went out of them.
Now, how much power you got to have to where people can bring aprons and handkerchiefs and put them on you, and you just send them home and people get healed and delivered? Now, a lot of y'all have a problem with that because you think it's mysticism, but it's scripture. Now, you take scriptures you want to accept, and then you throw out the ones you want to throw out because you can't see that ever happening with your life, because you can't envision yourself having that level or degree of anointing and power on your life where somebody can come into contact with you or place something on you and that can be transferred into a garment. Did not the woman with the issue of blood grab Yeshaya's garment and she was healed instantly? Let me tell you what the issue of blood was. She was on her cycle for years, and it would not stop. And the moment Christ was in the crowd, she couldn't get to him. She got on her knees down at the ground where everybody was walking at their feet, reached her hand and just grabbed his garment, and she was healed because that was her level of faith. So according to people's faith, they can be healed here. A lot of y'all have problems with it because we got these charlatans on TV selling fake oil, fake handkerchiefs, talking about if you send in 1995, I'll send you. No, those clowns, those are some clowns right there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that knew that Shaul was anointed by Ahiah and had power, Holy Spirit operating in his life. So they were like, I can't get to him, but if you can just put a handkerchief on him and send it back. So their level of faith was there, and the anointing of transference was on his life, and that can happen. Y'all can't envision it because you don't even have no power right now. You can't, like I said, you have no power. You have no power. You've never even seen somebody healed. You've never seen a demon cast out. That's one thing I can attest to in the early days of the Christian church when a lot of people would fast and pray and they served him to the best of their ability. I was able to witness demonic spirits being cast out of people on a weekly basis. I was able to witness people that would fast 5, 6, 7 days and have a relationship with the Father. And here, now, we want to demonize them and say, you don't know the name. You ain't using the name. You don't understand. You Hebrew. You ain't. Yeah. You talking about they don't have that, but they had something else that you don't have. So you got all this knowledge, but you ain't got no power with the Father. You don't have the indwelling ability of the Holy Spirit operating in your life, as Scripture says you should have. Let's read verse 13.
Then certain of the vagabond Jews exodus.
Hold on, stop. Vagabond Jews. When we talk about these vagabond Jews and their exorcists, first let me tell you something about exorcism. Exorcism is not casting out a demon. What you're going to find out, a lot of people don't want to believe this, is that demons cooperate with each other for the purpose of deception. And an exorcism is to just calm the spirit down. I'll say it again. Let me give you the Greek in 1845 so you can see the breakdown of this. 1845. Let me read this in the Strong's. An exorcism in the Greek is exorcistes, and it says one that binds by an oath. Did you hear that? One that binds by an oath. Once again, it's to exact an oath, to bind by an oath. Now, when you bind, you're not casting out. You're binding by an oath, and an oath is an agreement that they will have amongst each other. Let me break it down into layman's terms for you so that you totally understand. An oath is either a statement or a fact or a promise relating to something considered sacred. So it's a solemn appeal. It's a so-called promise to witness one's determination to speak the truth and to keep a promise. So an exorcism is to just bind the demon by an oath and to have an agreement. It's an agreement amongst demons for the purpose of deception. Christ ain't never performed an exorcism. That's the Catholic Church, because they're demonic. They're idol worshipers. Worship Mary and all these other saints. And this Catholic Church was set up by Satan. Read Isaiah the 14th chapter in his 5-point plan, as he said, that I'll be worshipped in the churches and the synagogues, because Satan has laid out the whole working of the Christian church and the Protestant church. They're all offshoots of the Catholic Church. And they're the ones that started this exorcism crap with this holy water. The power of Christ compels you, and pouring water on you and getting you to calm down. That has never cast a demon out. When Christ came out, he just said, leave. He didn't lay hands. He didn't wrestle with them. Matter of fact, they were tormented and grieved every time the presence of Yeshua came around. And they were like, please don't make us leave. The demons knew that all he had to do was speak a word. And most exorcisms, they take hours to come up with an agreement for the purpose of deception. If you look at 13, it says, it took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And there were 7 of them, the sons of Sceva, of the chief priests. That was like the Catholic priest at that time. And the evil spirit, listen to what the evil spirit said in verse 15. He said, wait a minute, check this out. The demon said to them, okay, Yeshua, Jesus I know, Paul, Shaul I know, but who are y'all? This is what verse 15 says. I'm paraphrasing. I'll read it exact, 19 to 15. It said, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are y'all? Come on, come out. That is so deep in so many ways. This is what I'm saying to some of y'all. Satan knows those that belong to Ahayah, the Most High, that have power in their lives, that have been fasting and praying, like Matthew 17 and 21, that have a determination, who have come out of the world, who are sold out, who are not fornicating on the side a little bit, who are not tipping to the club a little bit, just a little bit, who are not grabbing a little joint every now and then, just a little bit, but those who have come out of the world, given up their carnal, lustful desires, and have come out from amongst the world, that don't seek their own desires all the time, that keep the Sabbath, that keep the laws, that keep the commandments, that don't say the commandments are too hard, that don't skip down to Frank's Crab Shack every other month, or down to Lou's Pork and Swine Shop every other week to get some pork ribs. No, those who serve Ahayah with fear and trembling. He's like, I know the ones that have power with the Most High, but who are y'all trying to act like them, like you have power? A lot of y'all watch YouTube and try to act like somebody you saw on YouTube. Y'all watch TV, listen to blog talk, and try to be like somebody like them. But you have no relationship with the Father to this degree. And so what they were doing, and what a lot of these Catholic people do, is that exorcism, and you read it for yourself, it's to bind by an oath. It didn't say cast out. It's to tie up. If you tie somebody up, chances are they might get loose or they could be untied. You didn't cast it out. You just bound it for a while. Think about that. Do a visual. Christ cast it out. You just bind it up. What did they do with the man in the cemetery? They tried to bind him up with chains. What would he do? He would break the chains and the fetters. He had that much power through demonic activity where he could break the chains. The only thing they could do was bind him up with chains. So you got people still trying to bind up demons. And do you know, a demon can't cast out a demon. But in the name of deception, They will trick the people and be like, yeah, I'm free. And everybody be like, oh, he cast out a demon. It's like that clown talking about, I'm not gay anymore. Nothing wrong with that boy. That boy's still gay. That boy did not get set free. Playing in front of the people because of the moment, taking advantage of the moment. That's a hot mess. You got 5 or 10,000 people watching. You don't think Satan don't want to deceive all of them? Everybody, 20, 30,000 people going to a Benny Hinn crusade. Certain people getting on stage talking about I'm healed, and everybody like, oh, they healed, and they get back home 3 months later, they dead. Died of the cancer, didn't get healed. Just straight deception. Yeah, I said it. Satan is a deceiver. And them spirits will subside if it's in the purpose of deceiving you and making you believe that somebody else who is sold out to Satan has power. These seven sons of Sceva didn't have no power. Check this out, verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. And the man in whom the evil spirit was, he leaped on all seven sons and overcame them and prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. One man beat down all seven of them, beat their clothes off of them, overtook them, and they ran for their lives. So you want to go out and play holy, Kodesh, filled with the power, because you got a couple of precepts in your pocket. One man filled with demonic spirits beat down seven brothers that wanted to act like they had power. This demon-filled man said, I don't know y'all. Y'all ain't got no, y'all don't know Ahia. These spirits can recognize when you have hidden demons in you. These demons communicate. They're in another dimension, another realm. These demons can actually see if you got one of their cousins inside of you hiding and you playing games. They'll call you out. Knowing that you was just in fornication the night before, and now you want to try to cast out a demon, and you got a soul tie on you from a harlot that you laid with, and that spirit's still on you. You ain't even repenting. Talking about, well, I got grace. Anyway, let me show you how the Father works. Verse 17. The whole town, listen to this. This was known to all the Jews and all the Greeks dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them because they heard. So the Most High still used it. They all got scared because they heard about this one man that whooped seven dudes that tried to cast out this demon, and they didn't have the power. All these people, Jews and Greeks, got scared. Verse 18 says, many of them believed and came and confessed and showed their deeds. Verse 19 says they sold their witchcraft books. They sold everything because what that man had in him that they were worshiping scared them. They sold all their books and got rid of them. When you go on to read chapter 19, you hear that in Ephesus, that whole town was full of witchcraft and demonic spirits. They had worksmiths that were building statues to the goddess Diana. They said Diana was the goddess of Ephesus and she controlled it. So Paul and them worked into a plethora of demonic spirits, a stronghold of idolatry and demonic spirits in Ephesus. They destroyed the workmanship of a town because all they did was make statues to Diana, the goddess. They came in with the power and destroyed that whole town. The craftsmen were upset, and this is why Paul and them often had to flee because everywhere they went, they were casting out demons. Don't forget, it was Paul and Silas that walked through a town, and a lady who had the ability, she was Madame Cleo. She could read your future, your thoughts. She was following them all around town, talking about, these are men of the Most High. These are men of God. And she kept following them. Paul got pissed, turned around and cast the spirit out of her. And she could no longer tell fortunes, and the man that owned her and made money off of her got mad, and they imprisoned Paul and Silas for casting that demon out of her. And all he did was speak to her, and the demon left her, and she no longer had the ability with familiar spirits to see in people's lives and tell their fortunes, so he lost money. Everywhere they were going, people were losing money that they were making based on witchcraft, idolatry, false worship, because they had the Holy Spirit in operation in their lives. Real talk. So I ain't got no time to give you no little cute story or revelation. Now's the time for me to preach to you and tell you the truth about how you not only need to walk in the Spirit, but you need to get filled with the Spirit. We're coming upon the Feast of First Fruits, which is symbolic to the upper room experience and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit since you believed? Since you've been baptized, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you what it'll do for you. It'll make you just like Jeremiah. He said it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. Jeremiah wanted to walk away from preaching because everybody was talking about him, laughing at him. He was discouraged. But when that spirit came up on him, he said it's like fire, shut up in my bones. And when he said shut up in my bones, that means it's deep on the inside, driving you, motivating you, and burning up everything inside you that's not like him. A lot of you got fire on the outside of your bones, meaning you got zeal. You ever seen anything on fire? What'd it do? It just run, like Richard Pryor when he caught on fire. When the fire dissipates, ain't no more running. That's zeal when you burn out. But when it's something shut up on the inside of you, it's the infilling of the Holy Spirit that takes you to another level, gives you discernment, gives you insight. It's the rewak that controls you, tells you when to turn left, when to turn right, when to say yes, when to say no. It helps you to hear the Father's voice. So I want you to be encouraged and understand this. And that's where I'm at today because, brothers and sisters, I say this out of love for you all. Now is not the time to get cute with your precepts, to be out there playing with people, to be out there debating with people. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of darkness in high places. This ain't no time. The Bible says avoid foolish conversations, babblings. A fool has said in his heart there's no God. Why are you out there arguing, debating with something that's only the work of the Holy Spirit? Water, plant, water, and let the Most High give the increase. Plant, water, walk away. Pray. When you see a spirit, be ready. Be strong in the spirit. Be strong of character. Look past a person and look into their heart. See that there's a person that's probably gripped with a demon. See the spirit and have the ability and power to cast it out. Don't play. Don't compromise. A lot of y'all some real cowards. Some real cowards. Hiding behind a meat tree and some precepts. This ain't no game. This is for real. I'm going to close out with this. Maybe this will encourage you. I want to read Enoch, the book of Enoch, the 96th chapter. Before I go, hold on. Let me give you some precepts for Acts, the 19th chapter. You can read in your spare time. I want you, like I talked about Paul and Silas in jail, that's Acts, the 16th chapter, the 18th verse. I want you to read 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 to understand better the problem that's keeping people from going there. I want you to read 1 Corinthians 13 and 2 so you can understand love, which is passion, which I say I don't hear a lot of passion in your voice. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. In life, do what's passionate to do. Do what's passionate to you. Let your passion rule you. Some of you have a passion for a particular thing, and if you have a passion for it, that's something that the Most High has placed upon you, and that's your gift. Read 1 Corinthians 12 and 30. And you can also read 2 Kings 4 and 38. Don't forget, these kind come out but by prayer and fasting, Matthew 17 and 21. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's realize that we're one united body. And then you can break off into your camps. But we're one body. And we got a work to do because we get ready to go into battle and into some serious warfare. It's no longer going to be just words. Contain your anger. Contain your road rage and contain just letting people get to you. I need your back to be like the duck's back when water hits it. Let it roll off your back because Satan is trying to destroy his adversaries. Enoch, the 96th chapter, as a word of encouragement to close out. Be hopeful, you righteous ones, for the sinners shall soon perish from before your presence. You shall be given authority upon them, such authority as you may wish to have. In the day of the tribulation of the sinners, your children shall be raised high up and be made openly visible like eagles. Higher than the vultures will your dwelling place be. You shall ascend and enter the crevices of the earth and the clefts of the rock forever, like squirrels before the face of the oppressors. The sirens shall be blown over you, walking like the buzzing of wild bees. But you, who have experienced pain, fear not, for there shall be a healing medicine for you. A bright light shall enlighten you, and a voice of rest you shall hear from heaven. Woe unto you, you sinners, for your money makes you appear like the righteous, but your hearts do reprimand you like real sinners. This very matter shall be a witness against you as a record of your evil deeds. Woe unto you who eat the best bread and drink wine in large bowls, trampling upon the weak people with your might. Woe unto you who have water available to you all the time. For soon you shall be consumed and wither away, for you have forsaken the fountain of life. Woe unto you who carry out oppression, deceit, and blasphemy. There shall be a record of evil against you. Woe unto you, O powerful people, you who coerce the righteous with your power. The day of your destruction is coming. In those days, at the time of your condemnation, many and good days shall come for the righteous ones. All praises to the Most High. And the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. Truth is a journey and not a destination. We just want to say Shabbat Shalom, Barakatah, the Wada for listening, Kwam Yasharala, and guess when we get there. Till next time.